Good day. I'm Lori McGinley, joined by Mary Agnes Carey of Kaiser Health News. And this is Health on the Hill, a conversation about activity on Capitol Hill regarding healthcare policy and legislation. Mary Agnes, it's going to be a very busy week. And I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about what we should expect from the HELP bill, which will be the first Senate bill dropped.
Right. The Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions, or as you say, the HELP Committee, is expected to mark up its legislation this week. And I think you'll hear a continuation of a conversation that began last week when opposition began to mount for the bill. Republicans are saying, look, we don't know how much this bill costs. They don't like the idea about a possible employer mandate, and some business groups are also in that camp. There's a lot of concern about a government-run public health insurance option, and Republicans are saying that Democrats are simply moving too fast on this bill, and I think all those concerns will be voiced as part of the markup this week.
You mentioned the disagreements about the government-run insurance plan. Senator Ken Conrad has come up with what may be a compromise that would use co-ops instead of a government-run plan to try to assuage the concerns of opponents. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
His idea is to take the idea of the option out of the hands of the federal government and make it in a regional or a state level. He talks about co-ops like electrical co-ops that operate all over the country. They're nonprofit. They're owned by their members, and the members benefit by the co-ops. So that is his idea. He's looked at the Puget Sound Cooperative, for example, talking about these exist. We could make it work for healthcare. It could be more of a regional solution, and he's hoping that'll be the middle ground.
Now, the Senate Finance Committee also will be releasing its bill this week, and that panel has an even more difficult challenge because it must spell out how it's actually going to pay for healthcare. What do you expect to come out of that bill?
The big discussion there will be whether or not the committee decides to tax the value of health insurance that's offered to employees. Right now, there are no taxes on that. There's discussion of possibly taxing plans that are higher than about $15,000, which is the level for the federal employees health plan. There's also discussion, perhaps, of not taxing on the value of the plan, but on the income of individuals and couples, perhaps at $100,000 for individuals, $200,000 for couples. The difficult thing here is it's a politically tough thing to do. Unions don't like this idea. Their members typically have very generous health plans and have, in some cases, not gotten raises in years to keep those health plans at a very generous level. They will be opposed to it, but the problem is financing health care is such a tough thing to do. Both President Obama and Democrats and Republicans have said on Capitol Hill they want it financed, and that pot of money, if you will, for the employer-provided health insurance is one of the biggest ones out there.
Speaking of financing, President Obama has come up with some additional cuts. Over the weekend, he talked about cutting Medicare by over $300 billion. What are some of the things that he's thinking about, and how is that being received?
If more people become insured, for example, the president's idea is to reduce something called disproportionate share payments or DSH payments to hospitals, saying that as more people have health insurance, they'll have to take care of fewer uninsured patients, which costs them a lot of money. There's also this idea of a productivity adjustment for providers, in the sense as the years go on, as more prevention is in the system, health information technology is used, comparative effectiveness research, all these things that many individuals in both parties believe will help make healthcare more efficient and effective, that reimbursements to Medicare providers could be reduced because of those productivity adjustments. And also the president is embracing recommendations from the Medicare Payment Advisory Commission, also known here in Washington as MedPAC, to reduce payments for imaging, for skilled nursing facilities, and other healthcare providers.
It seems as though at this point, this is the point when the opposition begins to coalesce. We're starting to hear some grumbling by the hospitals, by the drug companies who might have to get paid less for Medicare Part D drugs. What are you expecting to happen over the next several weeks?
As more details come out about both of the bills in the Senate, and of course we have three House committees also working on a legislative proposal, I think to your point, the attacks will be sharpened. Hospitals may complain about these cuts, saying we're trying to be prepared for pandemic flu outbreaks and other terrorism activity, and we need to get our hospitals ready for that. We can't sustain these sorts of cuts. If drug makers, to your point, if they're asked to charge less for drugs given to the dual eligibles, those are people that qualify for Medicare and Medicaid, they may be very upset about about that. Every provider group you can imagine will come out with a very focused attack on provisions that they think will hurt their industry. And we will hear this all throughout the summer and I believe the fall as well.
A few weeks ago, lawmakers in both the House and Senate were saying that they were going to definitely hit the floors by after the July recess and that they would have things wrapped up by August. What do you think about that schedule now? Does it seem as though they're going to be able to stick to it?
I think a lot of it will depend on what we hear from the Congressional Budget Office, known as the CBO. They're the official scorekeeper for Capitol Hill. They will be able to say what provisions save money and what provisions don't. And since there's a lot of agreement and insistence on getting the bills paid for, if the CBO's score work, if they can get key Republicans in the Senate to vote for the bill, if some of these groups we've talked about, you can find compromise with them, we could, in fact, see the timetable continue, discussion in both the House and the Senate floors in July, passage before the August recess, and then a House-Senate conference this fall.
Thank you, Mary Agnes. And thank you for joining us.